by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes? This is 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Won't you step inside? Did you have any trouble finding it?
What do you mean, what kind of a place is it? Why, it's an artist's loft. Can't you tell?
Thanks, ever so. You have to love a restaurant that will send orders out.
Smells delicious. I suppose we should wait.
Take a breadstick. No one needs to know.
From one starving artist to another, my stomach thanks you.
Aha!
Oh, this is... It is the right place, then.
Either that or we're all lost together.
Oh,
don't confuse the poor academic. Invite him in.
Come in, then.
This is my first time in...
Welcome to my studio. I don't usually have much company. Through here.
Well, it is a bit out of the way.
Just be happy we're not meeting in the basement.
Oh? Why?
Mildew. Though the atmosphere is most stimulating.
I'm rather surprised the building is still standing.
It's an antique.
More like a relic.
Any bets on who's next?
Heads or tails?
Open the door.
Tails.
I'm coming.
Good thing Richard knows how to give directions. I'd hate to be lost in such a decrepit and forbidding part of town.
Don't tell anyone, but I wrote them. His were needlessly labyrinthine. No one would have found this place in time.
Dinner would have gone cold.
Weather would have gone cold.
You wouldn't believe the types of fungi that can grow in the plaster and wood in buildings this ancient. I suggest a thorough going over with Listerine, possibly followed by raising it to the ground.
You modern-minded scientists can't see the value of anything lacking in hygiene unless it's in a petri dish.
A culture isn't born in a day.
It might be in a petri dish.
Sit. Relax. I suppose we could commence with eating if Charles isn't here soon. But he is. Back in a moment.
Fire trap.
What?
These old gambrel-roofed buildings. The attic framing is particularly susceptible to the flow of air.
Well, I doubt that it will go up tonight.
And I doubt that going over with Lister's formula will make it any less flammable.
Did Richard say anything about this story of his?
Only that he felt it an impenetrable mystery.
It had better be something a bit more engaging than a plebeian crime drama. That's no entertainment for a thinking man.
You didn't just come for the food? I certainly did.
Did I hear someone mention a thinking man?
That would be Herbert.
Well, neither of us is inclined to think at all, if there isn't an immediate need.
Of course I think. I'm always...
Buried in the college library. Absorbing.
Rather like a sponge.
So there's only one thinking man present?
I beg to differ. May I introduce a friend?
What? And I thought this was a secret society.
Is it? I thought it was dinner.
Don't matter. As he's in town for just the fortnight, Richard said I might bring him along. Particularly with a mystery in hand.
Aren't mysteries afoot?
Plenty of food, though it looks like the breadsticks are going fast.
So... These are my cronies. Warren there in the tweed. Edward with the glasses. Herbert. Well, he's Herbert. And you met Richard at the door.
Enchanté.
And this, to all you rabble, is Monsieur Auguste. An old friend of the family.
French? Oui. Do not discompose yourself. My English is quite fair.
My father met Auguste when he was overseas. They always figured on meeting up again and trading some yarns.
Yarns?
Stories.
Ah, oui. I am a great one for the recounting of the stories.
But it's Richard's turn tonight.
I see why you let him in, cheater.
You're not getting out of it that easily.
I'm not getting out of anything. But there's no reason we cannot allow such an Auguste visitor a morsel of our time. My story can wait until we're on to the cigars.
Well, if they're half the size of your breadsticks, we might be here all night.
So, Monsieur Auguste, you don't mind our informality?
I've lived a rather bohemian life myself. If I was to be precise in naming of the names, you should all address me as Sir.
You aren't that much older than me.
Oh, no, pardon. It is the title, yes? I have honorific of Chevalier. A knight, I think, in anglais.
A knight? Really? Do you have a sword and a horse and everything?
Pardon, Edward. He's the product of our public school system, and thus is oblivious to the niceties of history.
And you were a bohemian in Paris? There's no better place for it.
C'est vrai. C'est true.
Aren't you some sort of consulting detective?
Oh, mais non. At the best, I would call myself a dilettante. And my friend and I simply found ourselves in the path of a crime or two in our day. I analyze, I correlate. I also am willing to accept things that others might assume are impossible.
Impossible? Nonsense. Things must be either possible or impossible.
Not really. The bounds of the possible are enlarged every year by my fellow scientists.
I thought you, of all people, would be defending the bounds of the possible.
Every impossibility is like a lock. Once you find the right key, the door opens, and the boundary enlarges.
So I comprehend you are speaking of science. I am of the same mind. Trying key after key, any door will eventually open, even if there is a century of keys.
So, replete?
That was quite delicious. How did you get anything like that delivered here?
Generous tipping.
Is anyone else chilly? I feel a bit of a draft.
High ceilings and large windows. Good for painting, terrible for heating. Have some more brandy. That should warm you up.
You call this brandy?
The rum runner I bought it from assures me that it's the...
It's almost the right color. But the resemblance is less than skin deep.
Let's agree I buy for effect, not refinement.
Seeing your house, I can understand that.
And we come full circle. My story begins at the house of a friend. I'll call her Mavis.
Mavis? A romance?
A patron. She'd just come into an inheritance, including a large manor out in the country. It hadn't been lived in for a while and needed tending, but money can go a long way towards fixing any neglect.
My father would agree.
So, in the clearing out of the picturesque dilapidation, several outbuildings were uncovered.
This is your story? They trimmed the lawn and found a shed?
Oh, how bucolic.
I'm simply trying to include any details you might need later to arrive at the conclusion to this mystery.
Perhaps, if I may, you could recount us the mystery first, and the details to follow.
That wouldn't be precisely methodical, would it?
Under normal circumstances, I would abhor one who settles on a hypothesis first, and then aims all his tests to achieving that end, and only that end. But for the purposes of entertainment...
Right. Mystery first, bare bones. The house was beautifully restored, mansard to masonry, and Mavis was hosting her first house party. She invited some 3 dozen of her closest friends, secured a small orchestra, and was inaugurating the newly sprung ballroom floor.
Leave off.
I'm just trying to help with the atmosphere.
I had stepped out to look over some portraits unearthed in the attic. Mavis was most anxious for my opinion as to their provenance.
Stolen paintings? Is that it?
Do not judge your eggs before they are cracked.
Yeah, don't crack so early, Herbert.
Screams. Screams erupted from the ballroom. From the sound of it, there was nothing less than a wildfire or a militia attack in the offing.
Ah.
I left my hostess in the portrait room. I made my way to the ballroom, much hampered by the press of people running the other direction.
Towards the portrait room?
In a mad panic. By the time I reached the ballroom, it was an empty shell. Chairs were tipped, glass on the floor from shattered tumblers, and some very strange tracks.
And?
That is the mystery. You didn't want any piddling, extraneous details.
You expect us to reach some sort of conclusion from this?
What would you do if this was one of your experiments?
I would run a series of tests. But that hardly applies here.
If I may beg to differ.
How?
In the case of ratiocination, the tests that would be run are the interview of the witnesses, the examination of the scene.
That's a bit far to go for a story.
Bien. So we must settle for the interview of the singular witness. Notre vieux, Richard here. You, sir, are our window on the tail.
But how would that work?
Why not make of it a game? Each takes it in his turn to ask a question, to be answered to the best of Monsieur Richard's knowledge. Bien?
Sounds rather interesting, really.
One can learn a great deal about any man from the way he plays even the simplest of games.
I might have an edge for once, what with my newspaper experience.
Obituaries? You might at that.
It's hardly scientific method.
Again, who begins?
I think Widdershins would be appropriate. That means Edward starts it off.
Well, one question. I'm caught rather flat-footed.
Treat him like one of the characters in your stories.
I generally try to avoid talking to them. People find it unnerving. Very well. My question, to start this all off, do you have an answer to your own puzzle?
I have an answer that satisfies me.
Would it hold up in a court of law?
No. Next question.
That wasn't my...
You should speak more carefully, then. Next.
Describe the tracks you found.
Is that a question?
What did the tracks look like? Detail, please.
Of course. They were muddy footprints with a rather recognizable configuration to the shape of the heel.
So, definitely a person?
While I could say, ask that one next time round, instead, I'll merely point out that I know very few animals that wear man-made boots.
I should write that one down. Charles?
Yes? Was the culprit a member of the party?
No. Completely uninvited.
Ah, well. Monsieur?
Did the tracks merely enter the room and then come to an halt, or did they appear to have a specific terminus?
You think someone at the party was the object rather than the instigator of the intrusion?
Shh, Warren, you've had your turn. The prints meandered throughout the room, though they showed no sign of purpose.
And a terminus? Or must that be a separate question?
A second question, I'm afraid.
It is nothing. I will wait.
Back to me, then. Could I ask his question?
I suppose you could ask him.
Could I? Oh, no. Wait. I have one. Where did the footsteps come from? I mean outside, obviously, but did you or anyone happen to follow them back to their source?
That's two questions.
No. It is?
I'm making a ruling. If a question is a compound, I'll answer whichever part suits me. In this case, yes. Come morning, we followed the footsteps.
But I asked you where they came from.
But you also asked if we followed them, and I answered yes.
Hold on. I'll ask where they originated from.
Very well. We followed them back to the family burial plot behind the house.
Really?
Watch out. He'll take that as your next question.
Where did the tracks go?
Into the cemetery. Don't waste a perfectly good question.
No. Richard said they came from the cemetery. Where did they go upon leaving the house again?
Clever. But the answer is still the same. They returned to the graveyard.
Oh, me. Well, someone must have seen the intruder. What did they say he looked like? I mean, it was a man, wasn't it?
Everyone described the intruder as male.
But what did it... I posed two questions, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
Must be more careful.
Do not fret yourself, mon ami. How are the grounds laid out in relation to the house and the road?
That's...
But a single question.
You've got me. Here, I'll show you. This is the road crossing the bottom, turning roughly north, I think. The house is here with a gate and a drive, thus.
And the burial place?
You specify the ground, not the structures.
I don't know that a cemetery constitutes a structure per se.
No, no. It will wait.
I would love to ask for that, but I already have a question in mind.
It will wait.
Good. All right.
You're taking notes?
I'm working out my question so I don't blunder again.
How methodical.
Yes. Well, I can be as tiresome as you if I try hard enough.
The question?
You say the footprints went into the graveyard. And that's not my question, just the premise. Here it is. Which way did they go beyond the graveyard?
Nowhere.
Huh?
We found no footprints beyond the graveyard.
So this fellow wanders off into the graves and flies off into space.
Shh. It's my question now.
Good.
Is the ground around and outside the cemetery the type of ground that would show marks of, say, a horse?
I'll have to equivocate and say, I saw no marks of a horse, all right?
Is this supposed to be a mystery or a ghost story?
That's hardly a fair question.
It's at least a very difficult one. I suppose the absolute truth would be neither, but I don't want to give the wrong impression. So I will say simply that no one claimed to have seen a ghost.
But it's not really a mystery either. Don't answer. Just musing. The plot thickens.
Come on, Charles.
Don't pester.
Did you ever see the culprit?
I was in the portrait room.
I didn't ask if you saw the incident, but if you ever saw the culprit.
Yes. At some point, I saw the one that I believe was the culprit.
Well, at least he didn't vanish off the face of the earth.
More or less.
More or less.
You sound like a man who knows something.
I know many things. I do not yet know you well enough to know what you are thinking. But I can already see, yes, when you are thinking, or rather, when you are forced to think. Some questions merely amuse you, while others force you to consider carefully the words to use.
Oh, I get it. Instead of noting the answers, you're watching the speaker.
As with Enneagram. Chess, for example, is not won by the player who watches only the board. It is not the board that one is playing against.
Amusing. But let's get on with your question, unless all this is just your way of buying time to think.
No, I've had plenty of time to think. I do not wish to ask the obvious question.
What is it? I'll ask it.
Think of what has not been answered fully. Mon question, then, apart from the footprints, was there any other disturbance of the grounds anywhere that you looked?
What? Even if you didn't want to ask an obvious question, you didn't need to throw one away on...
Shh, let him answer.
No.
Ah.
It's almost as if they're speaking in ciphers. What are we missing?
I don't know. How obvious is this question? Ask what hasn't been fully answered, indeed.
I know what it is.
What?
Find your own question. It's all a matter of organized thinking. Having an eidetic memory helps.
It is your turn, Edward.
The ground wasn't disturbed? What kind of clue is that? And that's not my question.
Of course not.
It's rhetoric. Oh, hell. I'm drawing a blank. Here. Did the intruder break anything at the house?
Well, no one ever said the intruder broke anything. And there was no sign of it.
And yet things were broken. Your initial description was very clear on that point.
Yes, but that all happened during the general state of panic.
I don't believe it's your turn, sir.
And I did not ask a question.
Oh, you sly dog, you.
Bien. My apologies for interrupting the proper order of things.
Oh, hit him with a good one, Warren.
Something that hasn't been fully answered. Oh! What about, August, you asked something about where the footprints inside went, but it was two questions.
Well...
My question, then, is where did the footprints go once inside the house? Be specific.
This may be of great interest.
You have to picture the room like this. This entire wall was windows, including the one the intruder entered through. The orchestra was here at the back. hallways lead off here and here, and there are a few tables. There's no way to know who was where when the intrusion began, but the footprints started here and made a long loop this way.
That's an arc. A loop requires closure.
Probably to avoid tables. This area was all dancing. The intruder appears to have been drawn toward the music. There was a sort of fumble in the steps, a loss of purpose in the stride, which I assume meant this was when the general panic broke out.
It took people that long. No. Go on.
Panic broke out. From there, the footprints walked over to one of the alcoves, then, striding quickly again, back to and out the window.
Alcoves?
Yes, there are five. Next question.
No, I really must draw the line here. You never described alcoves when you were describing the room. Besides, it's not even my turn.
He's right.
I think you'll have to give him that one.
I was only joking. Besides, Herbert has been looking smug for long enough. Out with it, foul fiend, and ask the question you've been brimming over with.
Oh, me? I'm sorry, Warren, but you missed August's point entirely. The question that was never answered is, what did people say the intruder looked like?
Good golly, that's right.
Well played, Herbert.
The few people who could speak of the intrusion without descending into helpless gibbering or simple fainting described the intruder as unclean, uncanny, unwelcome, abnormal, and detestable. It was the ghoulish shade of decay, antiquity, and dissolution. It could not have been of this world, or certainly no longer of this world, yet a part of the horror was that in its eaten away and bone-revealing outlines, it resembled nothing as much as an abhorrent travesty of the human shape.
So a walking corpse?
If you, the self-professed wordsmith, wish to put it so bluntly and blandly, yes, apparently so.
I protest. You said it wasn't something supernatural.
I said no one had seen a ghost. Ghosts are entirely ethereal, and this was apparently a completely physical manifestation.
True. Dead that climb out of graves and walk have long been a separate myth cycle from the purely spiritual, the zombie of the Caribbean tales, which of course are drawn from the mystical beliefs of the various tribes imported from Africa.
Enslaved and dragged here.
Yes, but the beliefs are so fascinating that a witch doctor could cause someone to not only die but return.
Is that the answer, then? That a corpse simply woke up out in the graveyard and decided on a lark to join the party? Or are we expected to figure out how and what caused it to motivate?
I have a few ideas on that subject.
Ah, but it didn't come out of a grave. That was the point of your question about disturbed ground, wasn't it, monsieur?
I had a little thought.
Well, that means you are onto the Walking Dead angle almost from the first principles.
Father was right on the money. You are a genius.
Merely someone who is not afraid to embrace the impossible from time to time.
So, this is the end of the tale. A body got up and wandered around, then walked away again. Where's the great mystery?
Perhaps, if I may.
Go ahead.
I think the question of where it went to is one of mild amusement, as perhaps is the question of what moved it to leave.
Perhaps.
Yes, but... Is there an answer?
I believe I have the answer to the first part. But I would like to ask my belated question first.
Please do.
Did you search the crypt?
The what?
You never said there was a crypt.
Perhaps I have not the right word. The building in the cemetery for the bodies, no?
That's more of a mausoleum.
Crypts are generally below ground. And you never said there was a mausoleum.
No one asked.
But I have asked it now. Did you search the mausoleum and, if I may ask, did you find your visitor hidden within?
I should just give up now. There's nothing left to hide from you, monsieur.
But I do not know everything. I believe there is still the question of why it walked away. And I believe it is Charles' turn.
Before I ask, is this something that can be answered?
I believe so.
Right then. Do you think it was due to the fear and confusion that the creature decided to leave?
I don't think so. Most of the crowd had fled before it apparently made its own exit. If you look at the drawing of the room, I am still quite certain that here is where it was the moment the panic broke out. And yet it continues onward for some time.
Monsieur?
I have solved my part of the puzzle. I shall leave you and your younger minds to uncover the motivations.
Cheater.
This means we're back to you, Edward.
Well, from what you've drawn, it looks like the alcove is the epitome, or do I mean azimuth?
I doubt it.
The ultimate point, anyway. That seems to be where it turned back. Is that correct?
Is that your question?
Yes.
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
What is in the alcove was... No. What is in the alcove?
The same as all the other alcoves. A large mirror. They're supposed to reflect the light and make the room look larger.
There are creatures of mythology who are terrified of mirrors. Vampires are said to have no reflection, possibly because the silver of the backing rejects their unclean nature and therefore refuses to reflect them. The Gorgons are the...
Was the mirror untouched?
Meaning?
And did it do anything to damage the mirror?
The mirror was... undamaged.
Well, that sounds a little bit like a hint. Well, let's go on and get this over with. I think even I can read you this late in the evening. Did the thing touch the mirror?
There was a disgusting mole-smeared handprint, and I use the term very loosely, on the glass.
So it's afraid of a mirror. That's no thrill.
Have you ever suddenly realized there is a large spot of ink? Oh, leaked on your pocket. Or that a bird has perhaps insulted the crown of your hat?
Hasn't everyone? Nature is notoriously insulting.
And perhaps people are smiling and laughing, or even upset and disgusted. And you don't realize the cause of it?
Are you saying this thing needed to see itself in a mirror to realize what it was?
I doubt there would be much higher brain function in a rotten corpse. It might not occur to it.
You know, that is rather the conclusion I arrived on. You're a bit of a marvel, monsieur.
Experience and ratiocination.
How did you come to the conclusion about where the corpus delicti would be found?
Ah, that was très simple. Reminded me of something from my youth. It is rather like the old saying, cannot see the forest because of all the trees. Vous comprenez?
I know the saying.
Well, it's rather obvious when you see it.
Bien. But what if the forest was hidden among a plethora of forests?
That wouldn't be physically possible.
Conceptualize, mon ami. So, to extrapolate, where better to find a dead body than in a room which is filled with them?
Now that you know how to find us, don't be a stranger. We have enough of those already. Tonight's episode, The View from Within, was written by...
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime. Across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
19 Nocturne Boulevard.
Nocturne Boulevard? Not far. When you hit Howard, hang a right. Howard meets Philip at a weird kind of angle. Then you cross James and Paul. You can't miss Nocturne. It's just past the Automat.
19 Nocturne Boulevard. Your address for suspenseful stories of the speculative, strange, and supernatural. Tonight's story is The Temple
which was adapted from a story by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes? This is 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Won't you step inside? Did you have any trouble finding it?
What do you mean, what kind of a place is it? Why, it's a U-boat at the bottom of the ocean. And the year is 1917.
Achtung! Captain Lieutenant Heinrich on deck!
Sehr gut! I have been reviewing the log regarding the sinking of the freighter Victory. And I must say that you are most definitely the single, absolute, most efficient U-boat crew in the Atlantic. At ease, at ease.
I myself cannot wait to view the film we took.
Yeah. The camera was off before we sank the lifeboats.
As always, Calloy.
Most excellent. Come, Kinzer, I have a bottle of some fine schnapps. You must help me celebrate.
On 20 August 1917, I, Karl Heinrich Graf von Altenburg-Ehrenstein, Lieutenant Commander of the Imperial German Navy and in charge of the submarine U-29, deposits this bottle and the record in the Atlantic Ocean at a point to me unknown, but probably about north 20 degrees latitude, on to west 35 degrees longitude, where my ship lies disabled on the ocean floor.
There was nothing like the first step out on deck after a victory, eh?
A victory? Yeah, very amusing.
Kaloy, sir, come.
What could be so... Oh.
She must be from the Victory, sir.
Alive?
Don't be foolish, Kinzer. We are far too long submerged. He would have had a better chance if he let go and braved the waves. Remove the corpse.
Sir, his fingers are in a death grip.
Fingers break more easily than railings.
Aye, sir.
One more victim of the unjust war of aggression the English Schweinhunds are waging upon the Reich.
Truly, he is our victim. Nothing more.
You do not see the whole picture. Just like a soft-headed Rhinelander, if you are a solid Prussian like myself, what's his loss? Go and see.
What is this? Achtung! What is so very exciting?
Sir, Schmidt took something from the pocket of the dead one.
Schmidt? Would you show this to me?
It is nothing, Lieutenant.
I will judge that. Give it me. There. This is certainly something. I am confiscating it. Now put that over the side.
So?
A bauble. Ivory, I think. Looks like a classical bust, yeah?
Not a senator, though. This one is much too young and handsome.
Possibly a Kaiser?
Or a god.
It is yours if you want it. It might be valuable.
No, I have not the sentimental. What is it?
Müller, sir. It is Müller.
Müller's unconscious.
Wake him.
Ah!
Get him up here. Stations.
Are you going to talk sense now?
His eyes. His eyes.
Whose eyes? Speak sense.
Enough. Müller, tell me what is wrong.
Yeah, mein Kapitän. The body. The eyes were closed. But when they rolled it over the side, they opened. And they were mocking us.
Superstitious rubbish. Müller, you have seen corpses before now, and...
Sir, but that is not all. He will not believe me.
You are under orders to speak.
I watched as the body hit the water. I saw it sink beneath the waves, and...
And?
It threw its limbs in and swam away.
You filthy lying...
Nein, Leutnant. Müller, you know this cannot be true, don't you?
But I saw...
Water is deceptive. It is strange, yeah, that the body simply sank. But that is possible due to its waterlogged condition after being held under our railing for hours. Beyond that, it is all a trick of the light.
Truly?
I will hear no more about it, yeah?
But you should keep no part of them on the ship. It is bad luck. The statue...
is nothing. It is a trinket. You go about your duties now, Bosun. Superstitious Alsatian swine. Why am I surrounded by inferior?
Kaloy, do you wish that I throw the bust overboard?
Nonsense. We do not give in to fear. We are men of the 20th century. And more importantly, officers in the Kaiserliche Marine.
I could tell them I throw it.
Do not show weakness. It makes you sound unreliable.
The next day, a very troublesome situation was created by the indisposition of some of the crew. Evidently suffering from nervous strain of our long voyage, they had had bad dreams. When weather turned choppy, we descended to a depth where the sea was comparatively calm, despite a somewhat puzzling southward current which we could not identify from our oceanographic charts.
Unterengineer Rabber, here to make a report, sir.
Where is Schneider?
He is unwell, sir.
What is wrong?
He did not sleep well, sir.
What?
It is the same with many of the men, Kaloy. They are feverish and say they have had bad dreams.
If they are shirking, I will...
Sir, no. Schneider is burning up with fever, screaming all night in his berth.
Then you did not sleep well either, I suspect?
Nein, Kaloy.
Yet? Here you are, like a good sailor. Good man.
It is the idol. It is accursed.
What, Müller?
Nothing. I said nothing, sir.
He said...
I heard what he said. Müller, I will have none of this wild peasant superstitions on my ship.
You forget my noble captain. I am a commoner as well.
Bürgerstock. And they made you an officer. You must have some good qualities.
What does it matter? We are all doomed.
Doomed? Because some men are sick?
Sehr gut. We must remain rational at times like these. Retain our iron German will. Keen, sir?
Yeah, mein Captain Leutnant.
Remove Bosun Müller.
Ja, Kalle.
The moans of the sick men were decidedly annoying, but since they did not appear to demoralize the rest of the crew, we did not resort to extreme measures. It was our plan to remain where we were and intercept the liner Dacia, mentioned in the information from agents in New York.
Und was ist los? Captain Lieutenant, we must request most strenuously that you...
Is this about the knick-knack? What sort of gypsies are you to believe in such phantasms?
But what could it hurt, sir? It is surely not so valuable that it is worth risking...
What? Risking what? The only thing we are risking here is our mission.
Even I'll die.
Morale, mein Captain. It is such a small thing, yet would mean so much to the men.
I see no men here.
Everyone seemed inclined to be silent now, as though holding a secret fear. Many were ill, but none made a disturbance. Leutnant Kintze chafed under the strain and was annoyed by the merest trifle, such as the growing intensity of that southward current, which was not on our charts.
That makes seven of us. We can surely...
Müller is still in irons. He can be no help.
Müller saw them.
Shh! None of the crazy talk, Bohin. We cannot let ourselves...
But they call to me. Their voices are like the waves. But waves that make words.
So there are six of us.
What is going on here?
We are planning a party. What does it look like?
What is happening that makes everyone so...
In the water. They are here.
Crazy.
He was in a detestably childish state, and babbled of some illusion of dead bodies drifting past portholes, bodies which he recognized, in spite of bloating, as having seen dying during some of our victorious German exploits. And he said that the young man we had found and tossed overboard was their leader. This was very gruesome and abnormal.
Seaman Bohem tried to leap off the deck. We had to hold him down until the madness left him, sir.
All for such a small thing.
That is what this is all about?
Just that.
Sir, Lieutenant Kinzer, Bohem is gone. He's nowhere on the ship.
It at length became apparent that we had missed the Dacia altogether. Such failures are not uncommon, and we were more pleased than disappointed since our return to Wilhelmshaven was now in order.
This soft-headedness is not good. Morale is a result of willpower, not coddling.
Still, I too will be glad when this trip is over. That southern current we have blundered into bothers me.
It explains how we missed our target. Not every inch of the ocean is charted properly.
But it is so strong to be overlooked.
Sir?
Schneider still not feeling well?
He prefers to remain in the engine room, sir. He does not like being near portholes.
Portholes?
His dreams haunt him. But he is not impaired in his job.
Well, certainly you did not come all this way to tell us Uber-Engineer Schneider does not like portholes. Out with it.
Something fantastic has happened. The boat is surrounded by dolphins.
Dolphins?
Yeah, come and look.
How many?
They are everywhere.
Finally, something the superstitious can interpret as a good sign, yeah?
Just as we decide to return to Schlickdown. This should truly mollify them.
How fortunate.
At noon on 28 June, we turned northeastward, and despite some rather comical entanglements with the unusual masses of dolphins, we were soon underway.
Bud! Report! Someone report!
This is your fault, you swine! You made a...
Shut up! Is there anyone who can talk sense?
They have the fire out. The explosion was in the engine room. They have found no causes yet. The damage is extensive. All systems have not yet been tested, but it is certain they have no steering.
No, what about the air compressors?
They appear undamaged, but, mein Freund...
Yeah, what is it?
Schneider and Rabe, they were killed instantly.
That is most unfortunate.
Our situation had suddenly become very grave indeed, for though the chemical air regenerators were intact, and we could use the devices for raising and submerging the ship and opening the hatches as long as compressed air and storage batteries might hold out, we were powerless to propel or guide the submarine.
What is it you think you are doing?
He demands it. He will not let me sleep until it is returned to him.
What's this?
A mutiny, Kelloy.
Can we do without Schmidt, short as we are of hands?
With no engines to maintain, I must always find makework for the men. They will go mad. They are listless if left sitting on their hands.
German lives are precious. But the constant raving of Schmidt concerning a terrible curse was most subversive of discipline, so drastic steps were taken. The crew accepted the event in a sullen fashion.
A ship! A ship! We are delivered!
Excellent. You see, Kinzer? It is never so dark that there is no light. Come along.
Give me the glasses.
But it is a ship, Lieutenant. Isn't that enough?
Glasses now.
Was ist?
Yankees.
But surely surrender is better than death.
Zimmer.
Yeah, Captain Lieutenant.
Prepare to dive.
We did not descend far. After several hours, we decided to return to the surface. However, the ship failed to respond to our direction, in spite of all that the mechanics could do. Some of the men began to mutter again, but the sight of an automatic pistol calmed them.
Kaloy, the men are very restless. They fear the worst, being trapped and drifting. They blame us for making a bad decision.
It was the only decision to make. None but a weakling would surrender to the Yankees.
Any man may turn weak in such conditions.
No Prussian. And if I must be the backbone so my crew can stand straight as men, so be it.
The men are restless, angry.
If they will not stand, then I will put them down and stamp their bodies into pulp fit only to paint the walls.
It was about 5 a.m. that a general mutiny broke loose. The 6 remaining pigs of seamen, suspecting that we were lost, suddenly burst into a mad fury, roared like the animals they were, and broke instruments and furniture indiscriminately. Lieutenant Kintzer seemed paralyzed and inefficient, as one might expect of a soft, womanish Rhinelander.
Get up.
Did you... Was that necessary?
You saw them. Now stand. We need to clean house.
What do you plan to do?
What else? Put them out. We can't keep them here or stick up the place.
We can use the top hatch.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure they're all dead, will you?
Very... This will be easier with two.
So would killing them, but I had to handle that. This is your part. Let me know when you need help getting them up into the hatch.
Our compasses, depth gauges, and other delicate instruments were ruined by the rampage of those swine. Henceforth, our only reckoning would be guesswork, based on our watches, the calendar, and our apparent rate of drift.
Look at this.
Yeah, more dolphins. Very exciting.
No, no, this one here. See the one with the scar?
Yeah.
How deep are we, did we determine?
Too deep for dolphins, certainly, but...
I have been watching this one in the searchlight for 2 hours now, and he has not left our side. Delphinus delphis is a cetacean mammal, unable to subsist without air.
Perhaps they are magic dolphins. I'm not interested in them until we run out of other rations.
It is a very important discovery. Perhaps a new subspecies.
I'm sure the dolphins will be fascinated when you present your paper to them.
With the passage of time, Kintzer and I decided that we were still drifting south, meanwhile sinking deeper and deeper. I could not help observing, however, the inferior scientific knowledge of my companion. His mind was not Prussian, but given to imaginings of no value.
Fabulous, isn't it?
Sunken ships? Interesting, yes, but fabulous? What else are you likely to find on the ocean floor?
No, no, look there, to the right. You see that peak? It is...
A rock.
No, it is too regular for a rock. You will see when we get closer.
Wake me when you can see it, then. I think I will have some sleep.
You don't care?
Yeah, yeah. Do you wish me to remain?
We have lost our escort.
Was?
Your beloved dolphins. They finally abandoned us.
I'm more surprised that they remained with us for so long.
What are we to do?
Do? About the dolphins? I'm sure they can take care of themselves.
You know what I mean. What are we to do when we run out of everything?
That is days, perhaps weeks away. Why waste angst?
But there is no hope. We must die.
Everyone must die.
We could try and get to the surface. One of us in the diving suit.
And how deep did we decide we were?
Very deep.
If you want to take the suit and try to get to the surface, you are welcome. But you know what will happen.
It is possible to survive Caisson's disease, even drastic decompression.
As a cripple? With joints that never work without pain? with skin so damaged no one can look you in the face? Perhaps paralyzed even? Incontinent? Better to die as a man than live as a beast. Of course, you might be lucky and have an embolism on the way up and then ride the waves as a corpse.
My mind was tired, but I am always a German, and was quick to notice that the U-29 was standing the deep-sea pressure splendidly. Our southward speed, as gauged by the ocean floor, was about as I had estimated from the organisms passed at higher levels.
Yeah, plenty of air and food, but this... as forever.
Not at the rate you're abusing it.
I cannot lose myself in study as you do. What is the point? So you know so much more before you die.
It is not impossible. We will encounter another U-boat.
Pick up, Carl. This boat, it is our tomb. We are dead men. All we have left to do is lie down.
Go to bed, Leundin. There is no point in talking when you are a total blow.
You are going to give me orders yet? What if I disobey? You clap me in irons? You will shoot me?
I will remind you, you are a man, a trained soldier, and an officer of the Kaiser's Navy. And as such, you should have the will to face death.
I am a soldier, yeah. I can face death in battle. It is this lingering, drifting fate that horrifies me. It is like having a fatal disease. You know you must die, but you cannot know when.
Very well, then. More air for me.
The fact of our coming death affected Kintze curiously. I was very sorry for him, for I disliked to see a German suffer. But he was not a good man to die with. For myself, I was proud, knowing how the fatherland would revere my memory.
He's calling! He's calling! I hear him!
What is wrong?
We must go. He will not call forever.
Calm down. Remember yourself, man.
Was? Can I?
There you are. You were having a nightmare. Now you are better.
No.
Was?
It was not a dream. It was a voice. I still hear it, you see. I still hear him. He calls to me, to us. I don't know why you cannot hear him.
You are still drunk or deluded.
I am not, truly. If you do not believe me, look outside and you will see his face. It is right in front of us.
Fast. Show me. Ah, blackness. Precisely what is between your ears.
The searchlight. Come on, Z. There. There.
My God.
I am not given to emotion of any kind, but my amazement was very great indeed when I saw what lay revealed in that electrical globe. And yet, as one reared in the best culture of Prussia, I should not have been amazed, for geology and tradition alike tell us of great transpositions in oceanic and continental areas. What I saw was an extended and elaborate array of ruined edifices, all in various stages of preservation.
Atlantis! And we Germans have discovered it! This is stupendous!
He is out there! His temple lies still before us, and he watches us from afar.
You saw this in your dreams?
He told me we should go.
Go? Where?
To him! Come now, do not wait until later. It is better to repent and be forgiven than to defy and be condemned.
You think we should go outside? We have only one diving apparatus.
A suit. We need no suits. He will gather us to him.
You have finally crossed into madness. I will find you some medication.
You cannot cure this with your science, Carl. You are so sensible, and what does it get you? Nothing. Nothing. Come now, or there will be nothing left for you.
You are mad.
If I am mad, it is a blessing. May the gods pity the man who, in his carelessness, can remain sane to the hideous end. Come and be mad whilst he still calls with mercy.
As he spoke, he took his ivory image from the table, pocketed it, and seized my arm in an effort to drag me up the companionway to the deck. When that did not work, he fled. In a moment, I heard the grind of the first hatch and understood that he meant to open them both, exposing the U-29 to the water outside. A vagary of suicidal and homicidal mania for which I was scarcely prepared.
One more move, and I shoot.
Shoot! I have nothing to fear. He will welcome me.
Did I say I would kill you? I will shoot you in the leg and clap you in irons.
You would do that?
Yeah. But I'm not one to hold a man back. If you wish to go, go. I will even run the hedges for you.
Why?
Further, I will watch and make sure he finds you once you are adrift.
But you will not come with me?
Nein. I have things yet to accomplish.
Very well. But he will not be pleased with you if you ignore his summons.
After I saw Kintza was no longer in the boat, I threw the searchlight around the water. I wished to ascertain whether the water pressure would flatten him as it would theoretically do, or whether the body would be unaffected like those extraordinary dolphins. I did not, however, succeed in finding my late companion, for owing to the abruptness of the change of angle, wire was disconnected, which necessitated a delay of many minutes for repairs. Alone. To survive until I die. Very well.
One more victim of the unjust war of aggression, the English Schweinhunds of aging upon the Reich.
I must be careful now how I record my awakening today, for I am unstrung, and much hallucination is necessarily mixed with the fact. Psychologically, my case is most interesting, and I regret that it could not be observed scientifically by a competent German authority.
You are a solid Prussian like myself?
Upon opening my eyes, my first sensation was an overmastering desire to visit the rock temple that stood before the now stationary U-29.
No, I have not...
A desire which grew every instant, yet which I automatically sought to resist. Huh? What is this? Light? Where is this coming
Do
from?
Do not show weakness.
Could it
makes
be?
It sound unreliable.
Yeah? Another ship? Port side. Aha. Oh.
Superstitious rubbish.
It is light. It is well that the reader accept nothing which follows as objective truth. For the events are necessarily the subjective and unreal creations of my overtaxed mind.
All trickles alike.
When I attained the conning tower, I found the sea in general far less luminous than I had expected. But the door and windows of the undersea temple, hewn from the rocky hill, were vividly aglow with flickering radiance, as from a mighty altar flame far within.
What sort of gypsies are you?
The light showed that the friezes, which covered the front of the temple, clearly carved from the solid rock of the cliffside, depicted many repetitions of but one face, the same face as the ivory bust which Kintza had carried back to the sea with him.
I would have none of this wild peasant superstitions on my ship.
The rest is very simple. My impulse to visit and enter the temple has now become an inexplicable and imperious command, which ultimately cannot be denied.
Do not show weakness. It makes you sound unreliable.
My own German will no longer controls my acts, and volition is henceforth possible only in minor.
This soft-headedness is not good. Morale is a result of willpower, not coddling.
When first I saw that I must go,
it is most unfortunate.
I prepared my diving suit, helmet, and air regenerator for instant donning.
Of course, you might be lucky and have an embolism on the way up, and then ride the waves as a corpse. and immediately commenced to write this hurried chronicle in the hope that it may someday reach the world.
Why waste angst?
I shall seal the manuscript in a bottle and entrust it to the sea as I leave the U-29 forever.
This is your part.
I have no fear, not even from the prophecies of the madman King.
Better to die as a man than live as a beast.
What I have seen cannot be true. And I know that this madness of my own will, at most, lead only to suffocation when my air is gone.
I will remind you, you are a man, a trained soldier, and an officer of the Kaiser's Navy. And as such, you should have the will to face death.
The light at the temple is a sheer delusion. And I shall die calmly like a German in the black and forgotten depths.
Ah, blackness. Precisely what is between your ears.
This demonic laughter which I hear as I write comes only from my own weakening brain.
You have finally crossed into madness. I will find you some medication.
So, I will carefully don my suit and walk boldly up the steps into the primal shrine. That silent secret of unfathomed waters and uncounted years.
Hold a man like if you wish to go. You wish to go.
Go, go, go.
Now that you know how to find us, don't be a stranger. We have enough.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Parts of the spectrum, rock, pop, electronic, as well as garage and noise rock. Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
And that's all the time that we have for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So continue to enjoy your weekend from all of us here at